In your Bibles this morning, Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And we're going to look together at an account of Jesus' resurrection. And I'm so excited about it. Today's message is titled this: He is risen, be not afraid. He is risen, be not afraid. Let's look together in Matthew chapter number 28, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says this: In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I love this little phrase. Verse number 7, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. I'm thankful that I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that Jesus, in fact, was crucified. He paid the price for our sins. He was innocent and he died, literally. I'm thankful on the authority of the Word of God that I can tell you that he was buried, I should say, in a borrowed tomb, just like the Bible says. Gloriously, I can tell you today on the authority of God's Word that the tomb is empty. Amen. Jesus rose again. Amen. Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore. He's our Savior. By dying on the cross, by being buried and rising again the third day, He defeated the very thing that condemns us all: death, hell, sin, and the grave. Because Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, we can live also. He's risen. Just the fact that Jesus is risen and alive and well and died on the cross for our sins is reason enough not to fear. He's risen. Be not afraid. The Lord Jesus loves you. The Lord Jesus died for you. He arose for you. And we have a bright hope because we have a living Savior. We come to this passage of Scripture and the story is interesting. Mary, the Bible says Mary and the other Mary. Every time I say that, Mary, I want to say Mary, quite contrary. I don't think either of these Marys was quite contrary on this particular day, but both of these Marys were quite sad. They were trying to process a whole lot. As a matter of fact, for Mary and Mary, life had really taken a turn that was counter to what they had imagined it would take. Now, Mary and Mary were followers of Jesus. And Jesus, for like 3.5 years, had been doing his earthly ministry. And somewhere along the way, Mary and Mary began to follow and worship and hear and even obey and trust in this Jesus of Nazareth, the healer, the teacher. But 3 days ago, tragic thing happened in Mary and Mary's life. Jesus, their Savior. Jesus, their God. Jesus, their leader. He'd been cruelly tried, found guilty, nailed to a Roman cross, and hung there and died. Now, Jesus had said to them that, like the Bible says, that you can destroy this temple in 3 days, it'll come back. But all the prophecy and all the stories and All the teaching was something that was overwhelming them because the bottom line was Jesus was dead. And the one word that described where they were at this moment, their lives shattered, their plans changed. Big questions. The one word that described it best was fear. They were afraid. Fear, concern, brokenness. They're just going about the best they know how. And on this particular day, they came to see the sepulcher early in the morning. Early in the morning. On Sunday, early in the morning. The Bible actually says it like this in verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. They came to see the sepulcher. They came to the place where Jesus' body was laid. And something fascinating is getting ready to happen. As a matter of fact, the earth is going to quake. There's going to be an earthquake. As they proceed, they get to the tomb, the stone. A host of men had rolled over the tomb where Jesus had laid. It's going to be rolled back, the seal that the Romans had put there. It's going to be broken. The guards that were standing there guarding, they're going to be standing there like dead men. I keep trying to imagine what that looks like. The Bible says that the earthquake, there was an angel. He had the appearance of snow and lightning. That's bright, isn't it? He had the appearance of snow and light. And this angel's there sitting on top of the stone. And there's two guards. And I don't know if they're standing, leaning up against the tomb, or if they're laying there on the ground. But the Bible says they're quaking like dead men. They've had an encounter with God, the angel of God. The keepers. And then the angel. The angel has some interesting things to say. In verse number 5, the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." What does the angel say? Now, I don't know about you, but if I've just come up on the tomb where Jesus was laying, had been laid, I should say, and the stone was rolled back, the guards are quaking and unresponsive like dead men, there's an angel that looks like lightning and snow, bright. If he looks at me and says, "Fear not, ye," I'll be like, maybe another time. I'm be scared to death. But the truth of the matter is, the angel speaks here to two fearful women to teach them something and to point something out to them and help them with something that Jesus is going to reiterate here in just a few moments. When we face life like Mary and Mary on this particular day, when things are uncertain, our plans have come crashing down. Our hopes and dreams seem to have died. God sends His Word to all people. Fear thou not. Don't be afraid. In verse number 5, the angel said, "Fear not." Look a few verses over to verse number 8. They departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear. The girls were still afraid. In verse number 10, they meet with Jesus. Look what the Bible says in verse number 10. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid." I don't know about you, but when you see this recurring theme in Scripture, you can't help but believe that maybe that's what God wants us to talk about. So this morning, I want to share with you this message. He is risen. Be not afraid. He is risen. Be not afraid. You know, fear is a crippling thing. You don't have to raise your hand, but you can acknowledge in your heart. How many of you would be honest enough to admit that fear is something that paralyzes you often? Afraid of what might happen. Afraid of what could happen. Afraid because of what happened in the past that you're not going to have the future that you want. Fear, 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 fear is something that's paralyzing. All through the Bible, God commands Christian people not to live in fear. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's impossible by yourself. It's impossible by yourself to live without fear. But all through the Scripture, God sends word to His people to not be afraid. Early in the Old Testament, we meet up with Joshua. Joshua's getting ready to face something that's bigger than him, no doubt. And God says, be not afraid. I'm with you. Be not afraid. And Isaiah, the prophet, God speaks to him and gives us one of our favorite verses in the Bible on fear. Isaiah speaks up, inspired by God, and says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. God's with you. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God says, don't be afraid. All through the Psalms, psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm after psalm. Did you get the point? After psalm after psalm. Reminds God's people not to live in fear. Don't be afraid. Don't live in fear. And we roll into the New Testament, and so much of the message that Jesus sends and gives to us in the gospel records is, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then the Apostle Paul in the epistles, time and time again, he mentions to us that we don't have to be fearful. There's one verse in particular that helps me a lot. It says this, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That's what the Bible says. It's true. God has given us a nature with fear. You know that God gave you a fear nature in order to keep you safe. Fear. Fear is a good thing. How many of you have a fear of heights? And I do, if it gets real high. But the real problem with the fear of heights, it's not the fear of heights, it's the fear of falling from heights. It's actually not even the falling from heights that I'm scared of. It's the sudden stop when you get to the bottom. Fear will keep you from doing things you shouldn't do. God gave us fears. Fear of snakes. How many of you love snakes? There's some snake lovers. I've got some snake lovers. I'm looking at her. And that's fine. But God gave us a fear of snakes because if you touch the wrong one, or better yet, if he touches you with his mouth, you gone. Dead. And God gave us a fear of snakes, spiders, that kind of thing. God gave us a fear of the dark because if you walk around in the dark in places you don't know, you may get in a mess. Really, someone texted me this morning. I think it's so fun. It's not being alone in the dark that we're so afraid of. It's not being alone in the dark that is so scary. Fear. Now, I want you to know, God gave you fear. It keeps you from jumping off of things that you shouldn't. It keeps you from touching things that are red and appear to be hot. Fear. It's good. It has a good spot. But I'm going to tell you, the good things that God gives you, the devil likes to exploit. And the devil loves to make you afraid of everything that's coming and going. Afraid to make a decision. Afraid to do something. Afraid to move forward. Afraid to trust God. Fear. Afraid of things that are far out of your control. How many of you spend a lot of time worrying about things that you have no control over anyway? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Now, God wants us to trust Him. In the things that are out of our control, God wants us to. He's not given us the spirit of fear. And I want you to know something. It is the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us the power and ability to live lives that are overcome and overwhelmed and constantly beat down with fear. I'm going to tell you something. You put Jesus on the throne of your heart, and you're going to find that God gives you victory over fear. Are you going to fall along the way? Yes. But you can always go back to Jesus. He's going to be faithful. You don't have to be afraid. There's lots to be afraid of, aren't there? So much to be afraid of. But God says, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus Christ has defeated death, hell, and the grave. And you don't have to be afraid. There's lots to be afraid of. I went through a few and found a few things that we've been afraid of through the year. How many of you remember in 1999, it may have even started back in 1998, that there was this thing. Everybody was concerned that when the calendars turned over to the year 2000, the whole world was going to shut down. How many of you remember that Y2K? In 2000, we were scared to death of Y2K. How many of you bought a generator during Y2K? There's a lot of generators. It's a good time to buy. It's a bad time to buy generators. I'm thankful for Y2K. My wife's grandmother, she bought a generator in Y2K, and I still have it. If I need a generator, it's the one I use. She's with the Lord, but she was thankful to let me use her generator. I'm thankful for that. How many of you stored up a bunch of canned food for Y2K? And I'm not saying it wasn't bad, but it's good to be prepared, and I don't like to go hungry, that's for sure. You can use your generator, but I wouldn't recommend eating the food. It's pretty old now. That was about 24 years ago. In 2000, it was Y2K. In 01, it was anthrax. In 02, it was the West Nile virus. In 03, it was SARS. In 05, it was the bird flu. Something happened. I couldn't find anything real scary about 04 other than I graduated from high school. I guess that was scary. 05, the bird flu. 06, it was E. coli. In 08, we had a major financial collapse, and it hurt. It hurt a lot of people. A lot of fear. In 09, it was the swine flu. In 2012, one of the big events of 2012 that caused great fear. I never did get scared about this one, but the Mayan calendar predicted the end of the world in 2012. In 13, we had North Korea to be afraid of. In 14, it was Ebola. In 15, it was ISIS. In 16, it was the Zika virus. We'll skip a few years. In 20, it was COVID. In 21, China. 22, Russia. 23, inflation. And 24, my lands, the list is too long. You don't have to look far. I make all these statements to remind you, you don't have to look very far to find something to be afraid of. But I want to remind you of something. We serve a God that is greater than all of our fears. And Jesus is alive and well. And if you'll put your trust in Him, you have no need to fear. He's alive. Let me give you a few reasons from this text to not be afraid. He is risen. Be not afraid. Number one, be not afraid because, number one, the powers that be have no power over God. At this moment, Mary and Mary came to the tomb where Jesus lay. And I want you to know, there's a group of powerful people that had orchestrated and put Him there. If you remember, the Jews turned Him over to be crucified to the Romans. A great, powerful group of Jewish people turned Him over to be crucified. They cried out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And then the Roman government led Him to the cross and crucified Him. The Jewish people didn't crucify their convicts, but the Romans did. And in the Old Testament, before crucifixion became a thing, before it was even devised in the heart of evil men, crucifixion was the means by which God prophesied that Jesus would be slain. He'd be pierced, the Bible said. The Romans crucified Him. The Romans put Him in the tomb. And the Romans pushed their stone in front of the tomb. The Romans sealed this with the seal of Rome. The Romans set the governor, the guards there. But I want you to know something. When it was time for Jesus to rise again, there was nothing that Rome could do. There was nothing a mob of angry Jewish people could do. There was nothing that anyone could do to stop what God devised to do. You see, we don't have to be afraid of the powers that be. Because the powers that be have no power over God. On this particular day, some interesting things happened. Look in verse number 2. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door." The first thing I see is there was an earthquake. Let me tell you something. When God wants to get something done, God has the power to do it, no matter what men or the might of men or large groups of men or nations of men want to do. We can rest. How many of you in your heart find yourself afraid of what might happen if this group of people do this or that group of people do, or you get scared because of the overreach of government or whatever? If you're scared of people, let me remind you something. You put your trust in Jesus. And you're trusting in someone that's greater than all men combined. What did Jesus do on the day that the stone needed to be rolled away, that He would rise from the dead? God sent an earthquake. I don't know about you, but I think I'd rather trust in the person that has control of it all than to fear people who can't possibly control God. It's amazing to read through history about times when battles and wars were fought and won because of fog or rain or mud or cold or storms. I'm thankful that when you pick Jesus, the resurrected Savior, as your Lord and God, when you trust in a God that can conquer death, hell, and the grave, you don't have to fear the powers of B, because the powers of B have no power over God. An earthquake, an angel. It's fun to think about angels and the work of the angels. God orchestrated and worked in the angels. On this particular day, God used an angel to roll back the stone. God has control of heaven and earth, the angels and all there is, and we can trust Him. But I've got to tell you the most important thing that we see in regards to the power of God on this particular day is that Jesus defeated death. But what is it ultimately that the powers that be and people can do to hurt us? The ultimate thing that somebody can do to hurt you is to take your life. I talk to people often about their funerals. Preacher, when I die, I want you to do my funeral. And I'm happy. I love having that conversation. It's fine. You can have it with me anytime you want to. But I'm going to always tell people, that's fine, that's good, but don't you get in no hurry. Don't get in a hurry. And I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere, if you want to know the truth. I want to stay as long as I can. I'm thankful to have the opportunity to live. But if the worst thing somebody can do to me is threaten me with death, all they're doing is threatening me with the beginning of an eternity with Christ. Because Jesus died on the cross, because I've trusted Him by faith as my Savior, my hope is not in living. My hope is in eternity and in Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Because He is risen, I don't have to be afraid. The powers that be have no power over God. Number two, God always keeps His Word. Here's something else that is mentioned and emphasized in this text. The Bible says in verse 6, the angel of the Lord has said, "Fear ye not, I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified." Verse 6, "He is not here, for He is risen." Look at the next phrase, "as He said." Now, what happened? Jesus had told Mary and Mary that He was going to rise again. And He did exactly what He said. How many times has God not kept His word? The answer is never. Never. Now, folks, you can put your faith in men if you want to, but I'm going to put my faith in the Word of God, in the person of Jesus Christ. God's Word never fails. I remember Larry Smith, when I was just a boy in elementary Bible time, singing this song with us. God's Word will never fail, never fail, never fail. God's Word will never fail. No, no, no. Then he said, Jesus will satisfy, satisfy, satisfy. Jesus will satisfy. Yes, yes, yes. Folks, I want you to know God's Word never fails. On this particular day, Mary and Mary were living in fear, but they didn't have to. And God is compassionate. They didn't completely understand all that was going on. But Mary and Mary, they're full of fear. The angel says, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus is like, don't be afraid. As they're making their way, they're still afraid. But they didn't have to be. Why? Because God's Word will never fail. And Jesus said, I'm going to rise. And He did. You know what? When the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just, forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, it works every time. When the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory, it happens and works every time. When the Bible says God's grace is sufficient, it works without fail. You see, He's risen. Be not afraid. God always keeps His word. Finally, number three, He's risen. Be not afraid. Obedience to God's word always produces God's blessing. Obedience to God's word always produces God's blessing. What does God want you to do? God wants you to obey Him. Now, God's not looking for you to make some great sacrifice. God's just simply looking for you to obey Him. Now, I wonder, where are you in your Christian life? You know what God wants? He wants you to take the next step. Some people have this idea and they're scared to death to step because they think they're going to step from being a construction worker to being an evangelist. Because some people are afraid to step because they're afraid they're going to have to step from one place that's familiar to some place that they've never ever been before. Oh, it's scary. But let me tell you something. God wants you to just take one step in faith in the right direction. And He'll meet you there. Here's a fascinating thing. Now, here's Mary and Mary. I've already told you they're still scared. And the angel says, God sent His word, and here's what God's word is for you. I want you to go toward Galilee because Jesus is going there. That's God's message. And when you get there, you tell His disciples that He's alive. He's risen. And so the Bible says in verse number 8, and they departed quickly. Now this is right. What did they do? They still didn't know exactly everything that was going to happen. They've still not seen Jesus personally, but they got God's word. They departed quickly from the sepulcher. The Bible says they did it with fear and great joy. This emotion is kind of fun to watch. The emotion is fun. You watch Mary and Mary. They've got an assignment. They know God's word. It's nothing spectacular. Just begin to walk toward Galilee. It's just take a step. Go in the right direction. And as they begin to depart, they obey quickly. But they go that way. And the Bible says that they departed quickly from the sepulcher with fear and great joy. So here's the emotion. It's fear. Oh, no, is this the right thing to do? Fear. And then they say great joy. Fear and great joy. Fear. And so we're back. Now look, if you experience that, you're in good company because Mary and Mary did the same thing. But let me tell you something. If you'll continue going toward the Lord, obeying the Lord, even with fear and great joy, fear and great joy, fear and great joy, you know what's going to happen? If you'll just keep going toward the Lord, God's word will never fail. And people who obey God and God's word, they receive the blessings of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean everything's perfect. That doesn't mean your life never has trouble again. It just means if you'll keep following the Lord, you're going to find out obeying God's word produces God's blessing. Here's what happens to Mary and Mary. The Bible says that they departed from the sepulchre with fear and great joy and did run to bring His disciples word. I like the word run. They got to the place where they said, look, we're just going to run to the Lord. You're here and you've been running from the Lord. Let me tell you, that is the wrong direction. You're going to regret it. Run to the Lord. And you're going to find out He's faithful. They did run to bring His disciples word. Verse number 9. And they went to tell His disciples. And as they went to tell His disciples, behold, Jesus met them. Now these are two phrases that just really encourage me. The Bible says, as they went. You see Mary and Martha, they're actually running now. As they went, they were going to see Jesus. They needed to see the resurrected Savior. They needed to have their fear settled, see that He'd actually done what the angel said. As they went, the Bible says this, Jesus met them. Oh, what a beautiful picture. What a sweet thing. They went, fear, joy. They went, and as they went, guess what? Jesus met them. I can testify this. Every time I've moved toward the Lord, I've found Him. He's faithful. He's good. You see, obedience to God's word always produces God's blessing. As they went, Jesus met them. Scripture continues and says in verse 9, Jesus met them saying, all hail. And all hail means rejoice. And we're going to rejoice. And I'm going to tell you that when you see Jesus and Jesus intervenes in your life, you're going to find out that He gives pause and reason to rejoice. All hail. And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Why? How? How can we not be afraid? I'll tell you, you don't have to be afraid because He is risen. Oh, it's so sweet. You see, the resurrected Savior encourages all of us to trust Him. To trust Him. Let me see what else it says here in verse 10 as we bring it to a conclusion. Then said Jesus, and be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. I want to emphasize that one little word, brethren. Now, this is a fascinating thing I want to tell you about. Jesus is risen from the dead. He's been crucified. And when He wants to see His disciples, He says, tell my brethren. The word brethren, that is a comforting, loving word. It's a family word. Now, but I want you to remember for just a minute what's happened in the last few days. As a matter of fact, about 4 days ago, it all began. About 4 days ago, in the upper room, the Last Supper, Jesus is pouring out His soul to His disciples and picturing the fact that His body would be broken, His blood would be shed. It's a holy moment, but Peter and James and John, the disciples, you know what they're doing? They're all fighting over who's greater. Jesus actually, after He washes their feet in that setting, looks at Peter and says, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you. He may sift you as wheat. He looks at Peter and says, Peter, you be careful. You're about to mess up. Peter said, I'll die before I deny you. Jesus says, it's not true. Before the rooster crows, the cock crows three times. Before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. Peter goes away from that scene full of self and pride. And just as Jesus said, it came true. Three times, Peter followed afar off as Jesus was being tried and going to the cross. Peter denies that he even knows who Jesus is. Now we give Peter a hard time, but where are the other cowards? They're hidden off somewhere. They're not even following far off. They're brave disciples, right? No, they're scared to death. Turn their back on their Lord and Savior. And when Jesus sends word that He'll meet them in Galilee, what's He say? You tell my low-down, good-for-nothing, dirty, rotten disciples that we're going to have a talk when they get to Galilee. No, He didn't say that at all. He said, tell my brethren. You know what that encourages me? It encourages me as far away as I might get. The love that Jesus showed on the cross, the power that He exhibited in rising from the dead. Jesus, as bad as I've been, He still loves me. He still wants me. He'll still forgive me. He'll still help me. He'll still save me. He'll still be my God. And you know what? When I consider how loving and forgiving and gracious that He is, I'm so encouraged. As a matter of fact, because He's risen, I don't have to be afraid. Oh, what a Savior. Jesus came, died on the cross for your sins. Your sin condemns you. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the best we can do with good works and good deeds, it's just not good enough. Have you ever tried to be really good and bit the dust? I've tried to be really good several times and just blew it. Truth is, I'm a sinner. But Jesus Christ is a Savior. Jesus died on the cross and paid the price for my sins. He was buried. He rose from the dead 3 days later. Why? Because I needed a Savior. Somebody had paid the sin's debt, sin's price. And Jesus is that person. The Bible says that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus by faith as your Savior, because He lives, you can have salvation, forgiveness of sin, eternal life. That's our Savior. Trust Him today. Rejoice in the fact that He's alive. He's risen. Be not afraid. If you're here and you are saved, and you know that you've been running from God, you've been disobeying His Word, I pray on Easter Sunday like today would be a day that you say, you know what? I'm tired of living in fear and doubt. I think I'll just live for Jesus. Oh, Mary and Mary, on this particular day, their fear went away because Jesus was alive. Let's pray.